Hey, what's going on, everybody? This is Corey Salt of True Floyd. We are the AmeriMe Media. We are the AmeriMe Junkies. To my left, this strapping young man with his brand new camera. D-Man and Jin.
I had Mike and Ike's in my mouth. Hey, guys. D-Man Engine here. New camera. Yay.
Meanwhile, from the depths, the darkest areas of the internet, we bring back a junkie who's always been around, but just very elusive, Luigi.
I don't know.
Oh my god, look at the face layer. Good lord. Oh my, you let your hair just grow.
The pandemic has been something.
You look like a more Latin version of Dan.
See.
Shout out to viewer Dan Blanco, longtime friend. But Luigi's going to be sitting with us today. We're going to be talking about bad dads, because we were too woke and turnt on Juneteenth to talk about Father's Day. So we had to let that marinate, since now Juneteenth is recognized by the federal government. So we was just like, fuck Father's Day, we getting lit. but now we're calm and we're back. So let's get to the Geek Report. Okay, so earlier, I believe yesterday or this morning, trailer for Shang-Chi and the Ten Rings came out. Not sure if everyone's seen it yet.
I have to watch it. I haven't checked it out yet.
No.
I mean, I'm still like, okay, it's an MCU movie. I'm going to go see it. The only reason I mainly want to go see it now is for them to explain the scene with Abomination in it. Abomination, which hasn't been seen since Edward Norton's Hulk back in like 2008.
Was that the first one?
No, we're not talking about the very, very first one. We're talking about the first MCU one.
Okay, yeah. Well, yeah. Like, let's make this good.
I was very specific. I said 2008. But we see Abomination and what looks like some sort of cage fighting. We haven't seen this guy in forever. There's already talks that Tim Roth is going to be voicing the Abomination and the Hulk, the She-Hulk series, which is going to be on Disney Plus. So I do definitely look forward to that. Meanwhile, back on the streaming juggernaut Netflix, of course, we all know that they're doing a live-action adaptation of Avatar: The Last Airbender.
Oof.
And
do y'all not learn over here?
Well, mind you, this one was originally backed up by the creators of the animated series, who then 16 months ago they left. Which
stop touching our childhood, goddammit. Leave that shit alone.
That sounded so wrong.
That does raise some concern, but there was some good news. Michael Goyer, director and cinematographer, is going to be on to direct this project. He's actually the director and cinematographer behind one of the best shot shows of modern time, American Horror Story. He's been there since day one. And I might not agree with some of their stories, but they're always beautifully shot. And he's also directed several episodes of another FX hit, Atlanta. Another definitely weird and quirky show, but it's still shot beautifully and executed with great panache. So, until I see otherwise. Wait, he just left.
I don't know. He pulled out a toilet paper. I don't know what's happening. Slightly scared. He just
said, fuck this, I'm out.
Slightly concerned. I think he went to cry in the corner because of his childhood has been defiled. Yeah,
Engine,
I mean,
come back.
I think my main concern is the writing. I have bad experience when it comes to Netflix and their live adaptations. I mean, if you remember, I did write the whatchamacallit, review for you guys, so for the Death Note one,
and we both
forced
me
to watch that, and
we both wrote scathing reviews.
I still remember.
It still bothers me to this day because I'm just like, the director himself is a very competent director. Hell, we all just seen this guy do Godzilla versus Kong.
Which was fairly entertaining.
It was highly entertaining. It gave us exactly what we wanted. I still blame Netflix on the writing and just the way that project went at the time. So I understand, especially Engine was just like, fuck this, I'm out. He was just like,
I went to go blow my nose. Right? I couldn't breathe. I need to blow my nose.
I understand.
Speaking of blowing your nose, there's been the announcement earlier this week from Paramount. The next Transformers movie is called Transformers Rise of the Beasts. Not really sure who's directing this. I hope it's the guy who did Bumblebee, because I thought Bumblebee was a great movie in comparison to the Michael Bay with the explosions and the lack of continuity and the awkward jokes.
Well, you not like the big robots with big metal balls? That's...
Oh, must you bring that up? Oh, God.
And the delightful and charming street robots that were delightfully Mexican.
Oh, my God. Yo. All right. So, see, I wasn't going to think about that, but were you talking about the Autobot in Cuba? That was just ready to play soccer. He was just a little too ethnic. Anyway, I'm under the assumption that this movie is going to be tapping into Beast Wars.
Oh.
Yeah. Remember Beast Wars?
Oh, I didn't remember that.
Optimus was a gorilla. I guess Cheetor was supposed to be like Bumblebee, but a cheetah. I just remember that back in the day, it was like, what, 95, 96? Like, the CGI was groundbreaking, but by today's standards, it looks like absolute dog shit.
Oh, yeah.
But
also, Starscream was in it. That's a ghost, again.
Yes.
It is canon to the Transformers story. It takes place in the past. For some weird reason, Starscream's ghost gets shut into the past and possesses us. It was weird. It was a life weird.
I definitely remember Megatron and the fact that he would talk to himself and be like, yes. He's like, I could just kill them all. Yes. At one time, I definitely remember they actually pointed that out in the damn show. And it was like, sir, are you talking to yourself? Yes. It's the only good conversation I can get around here. In other news, Borderlands, the Borderlands live action film just finished finished filming this week. I hope it turns out well. I still look forward to it. I feel like video game adaptations have gotten slightly better over the years. I mean, just like we went from a 2 to a 3.25 to reach 10 overall when it comes to video game adaptations. Because it's just been so weird. And Ready Player One doesn't count.
To be fair, the Mortal Kombat movie is still fresh in my mind. And
I did not like that, bro. My full analysis review comes out for Mortal Kombat tomorrow morning, because I had to watch this shit 3 times.
Wasted all my time for a few seconds of Scorpion. That's all y'all showed.
That shit was the world's longest trailer.
The best part of the movie was the thing that they released on YouTube. Brett. And after that, there was the rest of the movie. It's like, was a nice back story for like Scorpion and Sub-Zero, but then Cole happened. The character we all wanted.
I go in on that dude. I'm like, yo, remember those Mortal Kombat games where you had to go to the story mode? And they give you some random shitty ass character that you'll never play with.
Somebody so seen.
Like, that's who he is.
He's the director's OC. I remember when I played that game. I'm gonna put Cole in this movie.
Oh my god. They're also filming the Flash film this week. Finally. Because this movie was supposed to come out, let's see, it's 2021. This movie was supposed to come out in 2017. I'm not being sarcastic. That's when this movie was supposed to come out.
Oh, I know.
They have Sasha Cal as Supergirl, and of course Michael Keaton is in it as well as Batman. Apparently they're shooting his stuff as we speak, and it's been a complete no phones on set mood.
Cause you know what happens.
I understand. I'm a little tight, but I already know there's at least one snitch among them all being mad sus. You just see him take a quick photo. What you doing? Acting kind of sus. Emergency meeting.
You know, he bends and like.
Also, right back in Netflix's wheelhouse, an image from their shoot of Yu Yu Hakusho appeared online, and I don't think it. I didn't bother sharing it with the group because I was just like, it's not even a shot of them filming. It's them during downtime. I can't really judge off that photo. It's not fair. I don't think it'd be fair to anybody. But now that I notice that there's been more dedication and time towards these live action projects from Netflix, I'm gonna say I look forward to Yu Yu Hakusho. But I'm really crossing my fingers and praying that they don't fuck up Cowboy Bebop, because the cast actually looks phenomenal.
I still don't know how to feel about that one. I really don't. Very, very cautious. Yeah. To me, Cowboy Bebop is one of those things that, like, I didn't see the need for an adaptation.
But if they're trying to bring more... Well, see, we're weeb trash. We know these good things.
I know, but artistically speaking, I don't know how can they handle this, because there's some things that you can do in animation that you can in live action, right? And the combination of the animation and the music and the stories, I don't know. It's a hard task to top that up with, you know, live action, because live action has their limitations. So let's see.
Yeah, but you know what? I've noticed those limitations are being pushed on a regular basis now, especially after watching Corridor Crew. Shout out to Corridor Crew. I love that YouTube channel. They are some amazing visual effects artists. Like, they do some shit. So, it's being pushed every day. I mean, 10 years ago, the visual effects were breaking barriers, and they're still breaking barriers today. So, I'm not sure what's going on inside that Netflix, but I do wish them the best. And also, earlier this week, we had the 30th celebration of Sonic the Hedgehog.
Sonic.
I don't know about you, but there's a few Sonic games that I've always held near and dear in my heart. Sonic 3 / Sonic and Knuckles is always a banger. I'm an avid fan of Knuckles Chaotix on the ill-fated 32X.
Which reminds me, they just gave away Sonic Mania for free on Epic.
Oh, Epic.
Oh, Epic Store. My mortal enemy.
Right?
I just want things on Steam. I hate those exclusives, right? They kill me.
Don't you have a PC?
I do have a PC, but I want
stuff. Does it really matter? Does it really matter?
It does. It does. Steam allows me to get any controller I want.
You get
and also I like to keep my library, you know, in one place, like all on Steam. I like to open up, like, there's everything right there.
I think I have the least amount of games. I think Steam has the least, is the smallest of all my libraries. Then there's Epic, and then there's Twitch. I got like over 300 something games all for free from Twitch over the years.
Oh yeah, well, Twitch does like to roll them out now, don't they? But Luigi, what's your favorite Sonic game?
Oh boy, here we go. All right. Okay, are you guys ready for some dislikes in the YouTube video? Oh,
shit. Go ahead, man.
Because I know it happens on my channel all the time. I don't know. It's like, I'm not a Sonic fan. That's all it takes, by the way. That's all it takes.
So just that's all right.
People with torches and pitchforks after
me. That's it. I mean,
I like Sonic. Actually, while I stream, I do every now and then I do something called Why Me Wednesdays, where I play games that I don't want to play, and somehow people always send me Sonic games because they know how much I love them. But I can say that I really love Sonic music; it's pretty good.
All right, some banging songs.
There you go.
Don't kill me, everyone. Thanks for that segue, because with the celebration, they did a live concert playing a lot of tracks from over the years. And big ups to Crush 40, who came through and played their tracks as well. And of course they ended it with Follow Me, the breakout song from Sonic Adventure 2. But before we wrap up this segment, I gotta call shenanigans on Sega.
Oh boy.
Because during this playthrough, a lot of tracks were skipped, and they were definitely tracks that were definitely produced by Michael Jackson. And they'd made no attempt to even contact his estate, which I'm sure would have been willing to let these video game songs be played. Because when it came to original soundtrack music, Sonic 3 and Sonic and Knuckles had straight bangers. Ice Cap Zone, Launch Base, Carnival Night, the mini boss. Oh, come on. I'm like, I was like, wow, we get none of that. None of that. And on top of that, sadly, today is 12 years ago today, Michael Jackson passed away.
Oh, wow.
And mind you, Luigi, the way you're not a Sonic fan, Michael Jackson was the exact opposite. He was a super Sonic fan.
Oh, well, that makes it super sad then.
Yeah, so I'm calling Sega out. Fuck out of here, dickhead. Disrespectful ass Sega. Fuck you in at Chow Garden. That's our Geek Report. This is the Marami Junkies. We'll be right back. And we back. All right, so you know, Father's Day passed, and we were at first like, are we going to talk about the good dads? But then we thought about Omni-Man, and it was like, no, we ain't talking about good dads this time. We can't. There's a new king of the shit tier dads, and his name is Omni-Man.
I don't know about that one, Chief.
I mean, there's a whole family where their tradition is to, you know, toss their offspring off a cliff or volcano. So, a whole line of shitty dads there, too.
The only reason I say I don't know about that one, Chief, because I read the comics.
All right. Do you want to dive deep, or
you can't be that shitty of a dad if you end up reconnecting and actually being a family for a while, for a good long time after that? He was a great dad overall that had one extremely shitty moment where he dog walked the shit out of his son. And like I say often, it comes a time in every father's life when he must teach his child a lesson.
Kick him in the chest.
And he taught his child a Viltrumite lesson.
Yeah, at the cost of what? A few billion dollars in damage and countless lives lost?
Him killing people doesn't have anything to do with him being a good dad. That just makes him a shitty, fucking, horrible person.
Oh, so not to have held his son's face towards a train?
And look, if it was that bad in the Invincible's mind, they would have never reconciled with one another and lived a happy life after that until the rest of the Viltrumites came.
Mm-mm-mm. And now
Chow Tucker is still number one. Like, don't get it twisted. Chow Tucker will always be number one. Ain't nobody taking that shit from him anytime soon.
Listen, Family Guy's Tom Tucker. I don't know. I don't think he's as bad as Peter Griffin. But Luigi, were you referring to Heihachi?
I was talking about the Mishima, yes, the whole line. Just one created another one. And Kazuya is not a good dad either. And then what was the name of Heihachi's dad? Which he just looks like buffer, older Heihachi.
Right, that one. I'm just like, what the hell is wrong with you people?
Like, it was his family tradition to toss each other into a volcano and hope that they die, but they don't because video games.
But see, at least you said it's a tradition. In Invincible, the whole world had to watch a young man get folded like Sunday origami by his father.
And it's still my comfort episode, fam.
And the only thing that saved him from being killed was feels.
If he was that much of a bad dad, he would have continued. Feels would have had no effect. It would have been Mark Grayson used feels.
No, if Grayson wasn't able to talk when he did, he would have been dead. Because at one point he was like, man, I could just make another son. That's another 17 years. I was like, yo, savage. All of a sudden, that shit just makes Goku look like not such a bad dad.
Well, to be fair, Goku's just another kid in the family. Oh,
Goku,
man.
Goku is not an adult.
But
he's not an adult.
How does Chi-Chi handle Goku on a daily basis? That's a show I want to watch.
Don't. He's not there.
When he's there. I mean, he was there for months of
him.
Super.
She feeds
trying
him.
Trying not to work.
She feeds right. him. She fucks him. And
tells him to go out on the farm.
And tell him to go farm. And what he does is, like, sleeps on top of a truck the whole day working.
Yeah, because I'm like, for a farmer, I've never seen Goku actually work.
He's just there.
I mean, he doesn't really need to. He can fly and whatnot and do all the extra shit. He can zoom through all that in one go and then just chill for the rest of his shit.
I mean, even Krillin still has a job.
Which is a job he shouldn't have. I don't know how many times I have to. He's one of the strongest humans on the earth. He should not be putting his hands on regular people.
But my whole thing is, yo, Bulma, you like one of the richest families on the planet. You can't look out for the fam one time.
Well, speaking of bad dads, that you know, Vegeta didn't start as a good dad, but he reformed and became a great dad after that. Better than Goku at one point. But
yeah, when he started, Vegeta was a bad dad to future Trunks. He was an okay dad to kid Trunks. Besides the one time he gut checked his little ass.
And then he got a
but
daughter.
He was a good dad. He's mostly a good dad off the rip. He just wasn't a good dad to future Trunks.
That's because on the low, fuck future Trunks. He just kept doing dumb shit.
His whole timeline got deleted. Like, fuck.
It was like, bro. The whole reason Cell is here doing this thing is because you keep doing shit. Like, damn.
Super's, the way they handle Super's whole future Trunks, the ending was kind of weird. It's like, okay, let's delete this timeline and let's just put future Trunks with this other future Trunks. And now we have two future Trunks and two Mais there.
Mm-hmm.
All right, cool.
Speaking of other great dads in Dragon Ball Z, apparently Piccolo's getting a movie.
Just Piccolo?
The movie is going to be about Piccolo getting a higher power level to be pretty much the equivalent to Super Saiyan Blue.
Okay. Finally, we need to upgrade Piccolo. I'm tired of all the Saiyans being like, yeah, they're the only ones that matter, and other aliens. Because let's face it, Ultra Instinct is not even a transformation. Theoretically speaking, anybody could just achieve Ultra Instinct, right?
Shit is just the Force.
Like, yeah, let's just get a human up there.
Ultra Instinct is the light side of the Force, while Hakai is the dark side of the Force.
All right. That's good. All right. Who else is a really shitty dad? No matter how you cut it, Bruce Wayne.
I mean, yeah.
He's a horrible literal father. He's a horrible surrogate father. Like, yeah.
I mean, to be fair, he couldn't learn from his dad because, you know.
He could have learned from Alfred, at least.
At that point, it was a lost cause, man. At that point, the mission started. That's it.
The entirety of the Bat family is fucked up. And it's all because of Bruce. How are you going to sleep with your son's, with your surrogate son's girlfriend, who's basically your goddaughter?
Wait. Which one are we talking about?
He's referring to Batgirl.
Are you talking about the Killing Joke movie?
Well, no, mind you, at one point, even in Batman Beyond, Barbara said at one point they were together.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I remember that.
So either way, it's bad.
Members of the Bat family just be handing each other around.
Now, in that animated movie, that was the worst though, because it just made like Batman broke her off and was just like, "All right, bitch, I'm out. That's this." That's what it seemed like.
He had that new Beastie Boy song playing in his head from Teen Titans Go.
Oh my god.
Catching villains. Hey.
Oh my god, you ain't shit for that one. But but even when it came to Damien, it was just like, yeah, you should probably, I feel like if Damien's around, I think you might want to give the cape and the cowl a rest, because all it's going to do is further exacerbate all the shit that Damien's been training for with the League of Shadows.
Actually, yeah, Damien was very helpful to Bruce because he had to chill with that shit because he had a little fucking murderer as a child. Like, all right, I need to teach this little kid to not murder people.
You can beat them up, but you can't kill them. That's wrong.
You feed them their own kneecaps, but don't kill them.
That don't get me started, because now I'm upset. Imagine sitting there. You work extremely. You're living in Gotham. You work an extremely low wage job. You sit there. You can't pay for rent. It's hard to feed the family. So you decide to do a little bit of petty crime so you can get the extra cash. And then Batman comes out of nowhere. Beats the living shit out you. Like, absolute dog walks you, has you in the ICU, in prison, in an ICU before then. So, you know, that's racking up bills and debt on top of you. All to find out this man, Bruce Wayne, one of the richest men in the world, and could have just made more jobs, well paying jobs, so you could have got one to feed his family. But no. He out here kicking the shit out of your ass, kicking your teeth in.
They took our germs!
To be fair, Gotham is a hellhole. Because to be fair, actually, Bruce never rests. It's like during the day, he's trying to fix the city as Bruce Wayne. During the night, he's trying to beat criminals up. It's just that Gotham is just like cursed. Like, there's nothing you can do. You just move. Why are you there?
Can't afford to move.
Afford to fucking move.
Go to Metropolis.
Trying.
Guy over there
trying to help the city during the day. He keeps throwing motherfuckers back in Arkham. They got the worst security there. He got enough money to make sure that shit is escape proof.
But that's the thing. His company does the security at Arkham.
It doesn't matter. There's always somebody corrupt. Like, Gotham sucks. Gotham just sucks. Just don't be there. It doesn't take that much either. Like, you have $2. All right, I'm letting the Joker out. Fuck it. I'm getting a hot dog.
What the fuck?
It doesn't take that much either. Like, shit. I need a break. Joker out.
Oh my goodness. That's just so horrible. All right, another really bad dad. You got to go with the dad from Fairly Odd Parents.
Oh, Timmy's dad.
Yo,
of course.
Timmy's dad is the fucking worst. I'm like, you can't blame Dinkelberg for everything, cuz
Dinkelberg just sucks. When did your hopes and dreams end, Dad? How old are you again?
He will try, though.
He will definitely try. And it's so weird, because the perfect counterpoint is fucking Chester's dad.
It was Chester, amazing.
Chester's dad is fucking amazing. Chester is white trash poor. I could see Chester growing up to be Eminem, but then again, he had a great dad, so he wouldn't be Eminem. Like, think about it. Chester's dad was so good, despite being dirt poor, he didn't even have Fairly Odd Parents.
Yeah.
Of all the motherfuckers who might wish for some shit, it would have been Chester. But no, his dad kept him happy. Meanwhile, Timmy and his mom always be leaving the house on some bullshit to leave him with this clearly abusive teenage girl.
Oh, you're getting domestically abused. No wonder he got. Wow. Wow.
That's how you develop some kinks, man.
That's the fucked up part.
I still don't know why that was the first thing that came to my head. I have problems. I'm sorry.
It's okay. It's all right. I knew you were a smutty old man when we first got you on. Horrible. Oh, man.
Well, if we're talking about bad parents, I think we need to talk about every single anime protagonist dad that is never there.
Deku's like, dad.
Daddy. Daddy wasn't there.
Where is Jugi's dad? We actually get to see his mom for like, at least in English, for like one episode. In Japan, you got to see her a little bit more. But where is his fucking dad?
Aaron's dad.
Is he dead?
Aaron's dad was on some shit.
I will kill humanity.
Fucking, what the fuck is his name? Third Hokage. Shitty father. Oh,
what was the plan?
Not only did his own kid not like him, he left himself alone in his own apartment at the age of 3. Survive, little nigga.
Yo.
What was the plan? Yeah. Don't tell him why he has no parents. It'll be funny when he grows up.
It's like, wait, what? Not only that, but be sure everyone treats him like shit.
Even though he technically is the hero.
I'm just like,
there were some plot holes at the beginning. I'm pretty sure the writer didn't know where he wanted to go with the story. So the beginning is a little wonky when you read the whole thing.
He could have talked to Kurama at a young age and unlocked that golden chakra mode at a young age. The Leaf Village would have been a glass floor, fam. That would have been the end of the story. There would have been no leave. You messing with child's rage?
It'd have been awkward as shit. Orochimaru shows up. He's like, I'm going to destroy the Leafville. Perhaps I should pick up a new hobby.
Oh, like, if you go back to Naruto's beginnings, like, if you know how the whole story went and you go back, like, you can see at some points that the writer still didn't know where he wanted to go with the story. And there's some, there's some little retcons that he had to make the story happen.
You ever peeped at some of the most interesting side characters that they didn't show them a lot, but when they did, their parents were around?
Yeah, you got to see Jokies.
Right?
Minos. Tentacles. Neji's.
But the ones who have that main character protagonist ability, that they could that they could almost be there. No parents. Sasuke, no parents. Rock Lee, no parents. Gaara, no parents. I'm just like, damn.
What the fuck was the deal with Rock Lee? He has a son too. Like, what is it like? Does he reproduce by osmosis? Like, he just splits, or like,
who did the dirty
with Rock Lee? I want to know.
I'm mad that his name is Metal Lee. To be
honest. I don't know who gave up the yams to Rock Lee.
Is it the philosophy when it comes to writing a story and having a main character with dead parents? It's like, let the death of your parents make you grow stronger. Let their death fuel your rage. It's like, the fuck?
Okay, let's just face it. When it comes to storytelling, sometimes parents get in the way, right? Because you know these kids wouldn't get in so much shit if they have a dad. Like...
That's funny. But hey, he has great potential. I see. Kill his parents.
He has great potential to wash the dishes. Why are you still here?
Oh, do we need to even touch on Full Metal Alchemist?
Oh boy. Well, it depends. Which one, Brotherhood or the first one? Because depending on which one you want to talk about, the dad gets worse.
The twin, look, the boy's dad, shit dad, but was there for the end. Father, shit dad, fucking. Of course, Shao Sucker, number one under the sun right there.
Oh, that's the one that is always, you know, the same in both versions.
Because it's like, bro, you took your child and merged her with a dog. You have to go to hell.
Well, you know, for some people, their dog is a kid, so.
No, it's not flying.
Let's face it. You save a lot in bills, man, when you combine them, right?
Shut the fuck up, Luigi. You being a dick.
How can we talk about one show that got a lot of absentee fathers? It's not absentee because they didn't want to be there. It's just the way the bloodline and the storyline is set up. It's going to go every other generation. JoJo.
Oh,
wow.
Well, Dio is a shit dad.
Dio's a shit dad. But there's a lot of absentee fathers.
But to be fair, he had a shit dad. So it's like, you know what? He learns it, you know? At one point, you gotta break the link.
That family right there is cursed. Every other generation, the son got to die. The male of that generation has died. Every other one.
Shout outs to Jotaro's dad that is just playing the sax someplace in Europe while his wife is dying.
Right? It's like, perfect time for a vacation.
Because he's not dead. He's just a musician. And he's just like, he's out. Like, while the whole Stardust Crusader shit is happening. So,
it's like, oh, look. Time to go on tour.
Bye.
It's almost like how, what's the name's dad from Food Wars is. Like, he's a decent dad, but then he just be dipping. He's like, all right. I'm going to leave the country for a bit. Take care of the shop or close it, whatever.
As soon as it gets a little bit too comfortable. All right, I'm going to head out.
I'm going to head out. That was just like, all right. Gotta go.
Man, I'm trying to think right now.
All right. Was Dracula a bad dad in Castlevania?
It's hard to tell because when we saw him, he was just in a murdery mood, right?
It's,
and his son was not into it. So
it's hard to tell. Same kind of thing with Omni-Man. He was a great dad till he had to be loyal to the Viltrumite Empire.
So
then, once he stopped being loyal to the Viltrumite Empire, he went back to being a great dad again. Dracula was a great dad until they killed his wife.
Then whole hell broke loose.
And then he's like, I'm killing anybody. Dad, you can't do anybody.
Mom would have approved of this. Shut your ass up.
Then came to the realization of I'm killing my baby boy. If he was a really shit dad, he would have just...
Funny thing, if you notice...
The last time I'm going to put you to bed, son. Twist.
Actually, a point for good dad is, like, if you notice, the first time that he, you know, beat Alucard, he got him with his claws, and that technically put him in a coma, right? If you see the ending of Castlevania, while he's fighting Alucard, he only punches it, hits him with the palm, never hits him with his claws. Because he learned, last time I put this motherfucker into a coma, I don't want to. So he just punches it, hit him with the palm. If you notice, like, it's very interesting. Belmont, yeah, come here, motherfucker. But
he's a protagonist. Belmont. Fuck that guy.
Claws fucking are deadly Belmont. For Dracula.
Fucking Belmont. I didn't think about that. Yeah.
Yeah. Watch the ending again. It's like, I mean, of that season. Only punches and palm strikes. Never claw on him. I mean, he did throw a giant fireball, but his friends were there to catch him. And he gave a warning. Well, here it goes. Why are you still there? Not my fault.
Not your fault, though.
He left my hands. It's literally out of my hands now. This is up to God.
This is the guy. Really?
That's as soon as it left my hands, it was up to God's decision if you lived it or not.
All right. Yeah. This was. Do we any bad dads in the MCU?
Oh,
Odin.
Was he?
Yeah, he's not his daughter.
A better dad.
And then wrote her out of history. Dick.
That's because she was dangerous. Like, I understood that. I understood that 100%.
Ego,
like, yeah. Ego, definitely. Because yo, we all thought Ego was real cool until he said that one line. He was like, "Yeah, it broke my heart to give your mom cancer." I was like, "Wait, what?" I was like, yeah, you gotta go. I was like, yeah. But so, like, there's not too many bad parental figures. I don't think Odin was bad per se for what he did to Hela. Because it was like, yeah, they got the nine realms all together, united, but Hela wanted to go and kill more people. He was like, no, we're good. It's like, now. It was shitty of him to not mention this until he was about to die. Because that's something you might want to give a heads up. Like, hey, guys, remember, one day when I go, that bitch is going to break out.
Bye.
you might have to handle her. We know, Dad. You keep saying it. We have plans. But no, he waited till the last... few breaths, like, oh yeah, you have a sister, she could fuck y'all day up, might want to look out for that. Yeah,
that gives off the same type of energy as some be a real dick move to die right now.
So I tried to cheat and Google bad dads in anime, and it's amazing that one of the first pictures is the guy from Fullmetal Alchemist. People
of
really
course.
Don't like
oh,
the dog thing.
It is. He's the number one. He's not. It's going to be a while before someone takes this off of him.
But
that's why
you save us so much in food. Dog food. And... All right, fair enough.
All right, you know who's a bad dad, but people keep saying he's a great dad? Greg Universe from Steven Universe.
Yeah, I see that.
Greg Universe is a great friend to Steven, but he is not his dad.
That doesn't make him a bad dad. He just—he's a great friend. He never got his shit together. He cares about his son. He just never really got his shit together.
He's also never he's never raised Steven. He might have dropped a few interesting pearls of knowledge, but in Steven Universe Future, the epilogue, yeah, it shows that Greg really is a fucked up dude. It was just like. Man. Steven was craving structure in his world. He went to his dad, and it was like,
I won't say this is an excuse, but my man was like eternally grieving over the loss of his wife. Quite literally, his wife had to go for a shout.
But bro,
and I've seen people never come back from that mentally.
He's had the same attitude before Steven was born. But when he's not a dad, when he doesn't have a child, that's cool. It's expected. But dog, you literally let three aliens who were still trying to figure out themselves raise your child. Like he lived in a van down by the river. Or in this case, the beach.
This might it.
And I think the show definitely shows that because, like, yeah, when Steven was a kid, he was great. But as he got older, he was like, yeah, you're not really. I'm like, when it comes to parental advice, Steven goes to Pearl.
The adult.
Or. He goes to Connie's parents.
Because they got their shit together.
Exactly.
I was like, bro.
Greg never got his shit together whatsoever.
Yeah, like, that's why I'm like, he's not a good dad. He's a great friend of Steven.
Pearl by Design was fucking meant to get always have her shit together because she's meticulous in her planning. Garnet is the one that out of all of them that like just existed and had eons to like learn herself. Thinking Amethyst was one of the youngest ones and always felt out of place.
Amethyst is Steven's sister.
Plus, yeah, basically Steven's older sister. Plus Pearl also lost it, not, you know, having roles around anymore and keeping all them secrets.
Pearl is also a Karen on the low.
Mm-hmm.
She is. Pearl's a Karen. Man. Don't worry, Steven. We'll go get the manager. I'm sorry. I just see that from her.
So why don't we argue, since we're talking about bad parents, why don't we talk about a dad that everybody talks about, right? That is like a bad dad. But why don't we argue about how good of a father he actually is. Ooh. It's going to be hard. How about we talk about Gendo Ikari? Let's play the devil's advocate here. And
wait, who's that? We can.
Gendo's from
Evangelion.
Yeah, Evangelion. Yo, oh. I never stopped to think about that. Technically, he wasn't a bad dad.
He was a shitty person.
He kind of...
He was a shitty person. But he wasn't a bad dad.
Everybody talks about how he was a bad dad. But, I mean, we could argue. You know.
I don't know.
I mean, I wish my dad would have put me in an apartment with two hot ladies and live there. Just like, that's just, like a boss. I wish I could pilot a giant robot. That'll be great.
But all right,
man, she's just ungrateful.
I look like I get where he's coming as a person who has fucking daddy issues as well. I get where he's coming from, but like, come on, man, you's whining a little bit too much. Yeah, it's deaf, but giant mech.
I look at I kind of look at him the way I look at Cotton Hill from King of the Hill.
Oh God.
But Cotton just really doesn't like Hank.
He loves his other kids. He just don't like Hank.
He loves his grandson and he loves his youngest son, GH. He really doesn't like Hank because he reminds him of her of his first wife. Yeah.
This is a good grandfather and a good dad. He's just a shitty dad who was really a mean child.
Because when it came to his son, like he went back out into the workforce, sold his Cadillac. I was like, damn. That's funny as shit when you think about it. I killed Fitty Man. He also definitely fathered a kid in Japan. But he didn't know about it.
Wrap your willy.
Oh man, but this has been funny. All right. So hello Moto.
I know, hold on.
God damn, they still use that? They gangster. I don't even think. God damn. Damn, you still like an early
done for that.
You're like an early 2000s. Like an early 2000s.
I'm just trying to cheat over here, trying to see. Oh, look. The Emperor from, Code Geass.
Okay, that's a good one.
The Emperor of Britannia.
Yo. Wait. The dad from Last Airbender. What's the name's dad?
Fire Lord.
Yes.
Fire Lord Ozai.
Mark Hamill.
Wait, he was the voice of Fire Lord.
Yeah, Mark.
Yeah, Hamill. I'm about to say, no, because when you just say Mark Hamill, I'm like, wait, what?
Yeah, you can hear a little jokery jokes in there, and when he talks, like when he laughs, actually.
Mm-hmm. All right, yeah, that makes sense.
he's not a good dad.
Yeah, all right. But he's definitely a bad dad. They made Peter Griffin worse as the years have gone on. I haven't watched Family Guy in years. And
most of the dads from South Park.
Oh.
Randy's not a bad dad. He's just a really fucked up person.
But
he's another child. That's another child. It's a Goku. Oh my god, he's Goku.
Butter's dad be on some shit. Pete, PST Principal is one of the funniest dads. Because he's like, because it's somewhere between being PC and non-PC, he always keeps stumbling around his wife. And his kid. I'm just like, all right, that's kind of like, it's kind of dumb. But yeah, I think Randy Marsh is actually a really good dad. He tries his best and fails miserably, but he's Randy really, Marsh. but he puts
that's
in the effort.
That's the scientist, right? And that's always
weird. Yes.
And sometimes other times he gets caught in a room covered in exoplanet.
That picture will never get old.
or where he tried to give himself cancer of his balls so he could get medical marijuana. But then he just grew his own weed farm.
Integrity.
Yeah. Integrity.
Oh, boy. Yeah.
Make sure you bring a towel. You want to get high? Let's go get high. But Bad Dad, I'm still putting Omni-Man up there. I'm going to base it just off of the Invincible show and not the comic. He's up there. Yeah.
Well, if you read the comics, you'll find out.
Listen, I've read the comics, and I know where season 2 might be going.
Oh, no, it gets a bit worse. I'm not going to lie. It gets a bit worse. But they end up reconciling.
A lot worse.
And they end up reconciling.
For Mark.
Oh, wow. Yeah. I wonder how they're going to play this out. I wonder how this discussion is going to be. Ooh, I can't wait for the TikTok argument.
That one. But for the record, don't get me twisted. Hashtag fuck Amber.
Yo, fuck Amber. Oh my god. Fuck. Ooh, I gotta wait
this
for
might, like, we might have talked about a lot of Bad Dads today, but I just wanted to make sure I was very clear. Fuck Amber.
Fuck Amber. And we don't see anything wrong with that. Yo, look, fuck you too, because fuck Amber.
But that's just about our time. But Luigi, you furry bastard, it's really good seeing you.
Yeah.
Nice to see you guys again. Time. Yeah. It's been a long fucking year. 2020 was crazy. 2020 didn't start that well either.
World War
3 on day 3, Capitol riots on day 6 this year. I wonder what day 9 of just next year going to bring us. Since we operate in 3.
Aliens were real.
Oh yeah, aliens are a thing. The murder hornets. I don't know.
Conveniently sure. Disappeared.
2020 was wild.
2021.
The cicadas are back.
This is weird. But
Luigi, murdering people.
Luigi, tell everybody where they can follow you on Twitch.
Well, you guys can cucumber. It's going to be hard to. Can I change my name? Hold on.
Yes, you can change your name.
If I just do that. let me go to my cuz I'm going to try to tell people. Hold on. How do I change here? Yeah, there you go. Let's put it right here. You can find me right there. Yeah. There you go. Also, same name for Twitch. Twitter. I mean, Twitter and Twitch. Same thing. There you go. You can find
those. How you? Wait. How do you say it?
Cucumbadu. It was it's a real old inside joke. I remember playing a sort of D&D game. It was Dragon Ball. I wasn't even playing. I just was tossing names. Like, fuck it. I'm going to say a name Cucumber.
Let's go. Just been rolling with it ever since?
I've been rolling with that for years now.
Fair enough. But,
you know how hard it is to come up with a nickname that no one else has? Because, you know, I used to type, like, random weeb shit, and it's like, that name was taken. And I was like, fuck it, Cucumbadu. No one has that name.
That's why I put in Salty Live 215.
To be fair, the last few nicknames I've had, no one else had. So, I'm pretty good on that.
You're Gucci. No,
but there you go, right here.
All right, well, make sure to follow him at Kayun Bayro on Twitch and Twitter. Of course, it's always amazing. I want to thank you guys for listening in today. Be sure to download this podcast wherever you listen to your podcast. We're on Spotify, Google Play, Apple Podcasts. And of course, eventually it pops in here on YouTube. So thank you, YouTubers, for watching. Be sure to like, share, and subscribe, and hit that bell for notifications. And you ready to say bye, Engine? Want to say something?
Bye.
Want to say something?
I'll be streaming Scarlet Nexus and Guilty Gear Strive.
Yeah,
I don't know if my friends gave me it for a late birthday gift or if this is an intervention to get me to stop playing Destiny.
Yeah, you should give it up. Give up Destiny, bro. Give it up.
Yeah, go fuck yourself.
Give it up. It's okay.
Nah. I see. I gave it up for 3 years, and that was when I was in that toxic relationship. Now I'm going back to what I know, which feels good.
Fair enough. I'm still at Salty Lab 215 on Twitch, but more importantly, make sure you're following AmeriMe Media on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. That's AmeriMeMedia, AmeriMe Media. Jesus, America, freedom, and eagle. Meanwhile, he puts his shiny bucket back on.
That is the way.
Bye, people.
All right, folks. Treat yourselves well and each other. Peace.